Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Thank you so much for staying with us, the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. Just a reminder, you can always catch our podcast on the Chai FM website. Just go to podcast, look for Thursday Life Links, and you'll find all the podcasts there. So always a pleasure, always a delight to have Dr. D. Dorian Wheel, clinical psychologist, on the show with all of her wisdom. Dori, welcome.
Nikki, it's so good to see you. And to hear how your energy and your understanding and resonance with the energy of your guests just enhances it. It's like contagious. And I've just been listening to the way that you've all been interacting and how you spur each other on, at the helm, bringing this kind of optimism and hope and light at a time where there is a lot of sadness and darkness and uncertainty and even depression.
Yeah, there really is, Dori. And that's what I think it's such a great way of starting. And I think that this, you know, holding this, what is happening in the world at the moment, and then going and running a marathon, living life. We hear stories of there's been so much loss and there've still been celebrations. And it's, how do we do it, Dori? So how do we take the stress, the suffering, the trauma, and still live life with joy and hope?
Well, look, I think that I probably couldn't think of a better real life example of how to do that than the one that you've just been talking about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we can extrapolate that into many other areas of life. But here are a group of 25, representing many other people as well, and standing for something that is positive. And saying that not in the wake, together with it, and we can talk about that the one doesn't actually annihilate the other. The fact that there is resilience and optimism and singing in the street and huge, huge solidarity and determination and connection and a deep understanding of the power of support. And that solidarity, that's how you see when you step into that airport in Israel with all of those pictures. What the message is behind that is that we're in this together. It's the hostages, and you can't say that everyone feels exactly the same as the families of the hostages who wake up every day and say, my goodness, you know, that maybe there's a reality and it's not a nightmare. You know, but the connection, the whole country coming together, that does something. That does an enormous amount. It just picks people up when they feel low. The healing power of support and connection and the determination that is so contagious, that more contagious than any virus. And I think that one of the symbolic acts of this, well, the acts are going on all the time, but is what you've just been talking about. And on the other hand, I do say that we still have to address the other side. It lives simultaneously. And sometimes I worry, because there's such a focus and a need to kind of be positive, but there's also a danger if you don't see the distinction between positive thinking and optimism. If you don't see the distinction between thinking positively and hope, and we've spoken about this, Nikki, before, there is a distinction. Because if it's only don't talk like that, don't express that, don't think like that, you're making yourself sick or worse. You know, if it's that, you're taking people who are going through a tremendously difficult internal journey and you're not giving them any space or any permission to express what they're really feeling in certain settings and with certain people. And that's also quite dangerous. So while you want all of the what we've been talking about now, all around you, because it does affect any of the uncertainty that people feel deep down. It makes it better. It does affect it. It makes it easier to bear. There also is, we maintain our hope. We don't give up. We support each other, but we also understand what people are going through, and we give them the space and the opportunity to go through it with support, and we don't shut them up and tell them, go and cry somewhere else, not in front of me.
Wow, Dori, so much there, so much there. I think I'd like to just start off with this power of connection and support, how it builds the resilience. For the person who is so withdrawn, so disconnected, so lacking of energy, what is needed is the connection, but they're feeling so isolated. I mean, we're speaking to the power of connection and community. Yeah. What is a step people can take? People who are listening right now, who the idea of connecting with others is far too overwhelming. There is no desire. It's more and more of a withdrawal into self.
Nikki, if I say to you, what do you think the obstacles are that they feel, or the fear of that connection, and why just this kind of isolated, deep withdrawal? And I would suggest that there are a number of things, and we can kind of look at all of them. One is that, well, nobody can do anything. Mm-hmm. This is the situation. You know, we have that saying, and I think in this situation, we can turn it around a bit. That saying is, don't just sit there, do something. And there's nothing anyone can do, so what's the point? You know, it is what it is. So when we're in this situation that is so fraught with this kind of, and uncertainty is very important. You know, even if you have to come, I mean, people who you spoke to a few minutes ago have had to come to terms with the loss of very dear friends. Mm. And when I say come to terms, it doesn't mean as they are demonstrating that you forget about them or that suddenly you don't feel sad. But it's a reality of not moving on, but moving through rather than moving on, that they're coming to terms with. But in this situation, there is so much uncertainty about whether people are going to come back, about what their state is, about what's going to happen in the future of the country, that it's hard to actually start coming to terms with a real unknown. So the uncertainty makes it really harder. So I would suggest with that saying, instead of saying, you know, or we feel, don't just sit there, do something and there's nothing you can do, so what's the point? Rather say you don't have to do anything, but just be there. Mm-hmm. Because the energy of that kind of support without action, people undermine it. And yet there's been so much research, if you pick up that somebody has got your back and that you move from thinking they'll never understand me, from the person who's there saying, I can see that you're going through a really tough time, instead of talking to them about don't think like that, and you know there's life, there's hope, which is very true, but to the person who's going like through it, they sometimes feel misunderstood and more alone because they take it as platitudes. You don't really understand what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. So for other people trying to be supportive, it's a lot of what you and I maybe would call active listening. It's really difficult to wake up with uncertainty. You're not sure. You feel despondent sometimes. And that's only the beginning part. You don't necessarily leave the person with that only. You also let them feel that someone is with them, that starts giving them a little bit of the healing. I'm not in this alone. And people do understand me. And they do have my back. And we can walk this together. Then you can start saying, okay, let's look at some reality. You know, there were people who have been returned where some, you know, there was sometimes moments of lack of hope, but retaining the hope. There was. So you can start, you know, showing that other kind of reality when somebody feels that they understood. And often when they are totally withdrawn, it's because no one will really understand me, and I'm just going to bring everyone around me down by the way that I'm feeling. But by being understood helps lift them up a little bit.
And you know, Dori, I mean, I just wonder how many people who are listening now who just cannot relate to what you're saying. I think that everyone is really grappling with so much. And yeah, and I think to listen to one another, and I think to be there for one another, to have some kind of understanding in whatever that means, is what's being called for. And if we move it now to like these celebrations on the streets in Jerusalem for the Jerusalem Marathon, how does one, and we're going to stop for an ad break in a moment, but how does one navigate the, for example, being very specific about these hostages, what they're going through? We see it all the time. We're thinking about it all the time. And then we're feeling okay. And then we're celebrating. And then we think about the horrific, real suffering that is happening. And you said it's not one or the other. I mean, so the question that I'm really asking you, Dori, is for people who are struggling with that, and I am one of them, how do we hold them both? How do we manage to do that? So a quick break and we'll come back after the break.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome back to the show. I have Dorian Wheel, clinical psychologist on the show. Dori, we don't have much time, but as I said before the break, how do we live our lives knowing that there are people suffering in the moment? We've always done it. I mean, we've always done it. There's our life and then there's life that's carrying on. I climb into bed every night. I think about how privileged I am to be sleeping, to be eating, to be safe. And then I think about these hostages, and it is overwhelming. For people listening who are experiencing the same, how do we grapple with this? How do we navigate it?
It's such an important question, and we could talk about it for quite a long time. You know, when you talk about that and you're talking about yourself, the fact that you have got food to eat and that you're in a warm bed and that your family are there, I think they're there, and then think about them. It doesn't mean, remember when we were growing up, your mother used to say, eat your lunch because they're starving children in India.
Yes.
Well, you know, eating your lunch, you know, not eating your lunch didn't help the starving children in India. They were still starving unless you packed up your lunch and sent it to them somehow. So, you know, people often feel almost uncomfortable and a little bit guilty about being grateful for what they have. And gratitude is so important. It's one of the most important things that results in good mental health, certainly in feelings of fulfillment and happiness. So the thing is, how can we fulfill it while other people aren't? Well, you do what you can, and people are, to show solidarity for the other people. You feel for them as you do in a deep, deep way. You know, it doesn't mean, Brené Brown once said it, and it might be harsh, it might sound as being harsh, that the greatest problem now is the one that you have. And it doesn't mean that you can't, compassion isn't, and caring about other people isn't the size of a pizza. Mm-hmm. So